You see, friends, there's ice in our hearts, there's heat in our hearts, but there's also the gospel of Christ. And when we do this series of Philippians, it's not just some theological thing. We're actually trying to apply the gospel into relationships and into our future and into people's hearts. And I'm going to invite this man, Nico. I just trust him. I don't know why. But maybe it's by the Spirit of God that we witness. And this is Nico. I don't know anything about him. I know he's had... Anyway, tell your story, Nico, and we see if we can put it into Philippians.
Thanks, Rory. Might start off hesitantly. I'm not sure exactly what part of the story to tell, but I think maybe you want me to tell about my children. I've got 5 children, and my eldest daughter is normal like any other normal other kid, and then my 17-year-old son, my firstborn son, is blind and mentally retarded. He can't sit, stand, walk, speak. And it took us, me and my wife, a while to decide whether we're going to have another kid. And we got another kid, and he was normal. And we decided for a 4th one, because actually we wanted 4 kids. And he was normal. And then we said, why not try for another one so we can have 4 normal kids. And Dylan, which is our not-so-normal boy. And then Matthew was born, the same as Dylan. So we have these 2 kids, born blind, no pupils in their eyes, mentally retarded, can't think. I think they've got the brain function of a 3-month-old baby. Lovely children, beautiful. You can only love them. The spirit that they exude is that of Christ himself. There's no other way to describe it. If you'll meet them, it's awesome people to meet. We take care of them. We change the nappies. We still feed them. We do whatever is necessary. I think if I can add something in terms of bringing Christ in the picture, because it might be something that most of us Christians sometimes get confronted with, especially if we eat a lot, maybe too much for most of us. From the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It's not a good place to go and eat from. The tree of life is the place where we really get sustenance, because that is Christ himself. So I've wrestled with this thing because it's paradoxical. Because in my heart, I believe God is a healer. Like said tonight, and that is who God is. That is what Christ came for. So on the one side, I had this belief that God is the healer. On the other hand, I sit with a practical, physical reality of 2 sons that are blind and all the rest that goes with that. And I wrestled with that because you have to make a choice, or we tend to think we need to make a choice, which eventually I realize there's a third alternative choice that one can make. If you are confronted with a paradox or extremes so opposed to one another, but 2 realities that you want to believe and embrace because both of them are real to you. So eventually I developed this theory. I don't know how true it is, but it helps me to cope. On the one side, we have spiritual truth, or that's what I call it today. And that is a truth like Christ is the Messiah. It's not something you and I can change by anything we can think. It's not something that is established by the way we think. That is established by God himself, that Christ is the healer. Christ is the Messiah. Christ is the living word. Christ is everything. And that spiritual truth holds true irrespective of what a person might think about. And then on the other hand, you sit and you have to deal with realities. Brokenness, divorce, rape, if I can be so extreme and give an example. Financial challenges, relationship challenges, which are just as real as on the other side, Christ being the healer or the Messiah or Jesus being the Christ. And eventually, I've developed this mindset, and by grace, not by human endeavor, because that counts for nothing, but by grace, seeing that the only way that I can get it right, to, on the one hand, say that God himself is the healer, and I can maintain and keep on believing that God is the healer. And on the other hand, sitting with this reality that I have to take care of. I can't just go on and carry on and say, no, God heals, God heals. My sons are not blind. My sons are not blind. That would be stupidity. On the other hand, I don't want to turn my back on God and say, he's not a healer, because look at my sons. I want to integrate the two somehow by grace. And what I think I found, and this is just metaphorically stated, is when I step back into Christ and I stand in him and I become in him and he becomes everything, that's the only place that I can stand to find balance for these two extremes that I have to deal with in my life. Now, this is just a theory, a principle, a way of thinking. And that could be applied to your life, most probably. You sit with a reality. You can measure it. You can look at it. You can taste it. You can touch it. You can hear about it. All your senses, physical senses, could be applied to understand this physical reality. But on the other hand, you want to hold on to God. You want to hold on to what Christ has promised you, a life in abundance. And I really, truly think the only place where we can stand to find that balance is in Christ Jesus himself. And I'm not talking about grand religious rituals. I'm talking about a relationship with him, pursuing him, just loving him, just simplistically chatting to him, just wrestling with him. And in that, we become, and in that we find balance, and in that the truth of the gospel becomes real. The hope that we have is not in turning a blind eye to the challenges of your life and just confessing with the hope that the challenges will go away, that Jesus is everything and the challenges do not exist, nor is it to turn your back on him and then to just stare at all these challenges that you have to face. I think if we come back to here where we can stand in him, I think that balance is possible. I do believe Paul mentioned in Romans 5 about this whole thing, because that's another thing in my context that made sense to me, is suffering leads to perseverance, which eventually develops character, which eventually gives us hope that will not disappoint us. Now, my background is I'm a psychologist, so I sit many hours with people wrestling through whatever they go through. And often I hear about their suffering, and one of the questions I would ask them, where are you going to get hope? And never have I ever heard someone say that hope actually comes from suffering, which develops this perseverance in you, which gives you character. The whole idea of character, you might be familiar with that, is I think it's derived from the word, Latin word of statue, that a statue remains as is. You can't change a statue. It's not flexible. It's not bendable. It's wrought in a certain format, and it remains like that. And the only way you can really take away the integrity of a statue is to break it. And I think that kind of character is something we need, the character of Jesus Christ. And more often than not, it doesn't come through reading the book on how to build character or watching the movie about, or listening to me speaking about character. I think character comes from the suffering and enduring that suffering, whatever God in his grace has thought for your life. If you can remain with this thought that whatever happens to you and whatever, however bad it looks currently, it does not come from a vindictive God. It does not come from a God that wants to punish you for something. He has punished his son on our behalf for us. But it comes from a God who knows better, which you and I might not assess in the moment, because we might think he doesn't know better with this. But whatever his intention is with you, is to And this is the hard part, is to help you to die so that Christ can live through you. To help you to become nothing, like John says, so that he can become everything. Without him, we are nothing. We can become nothing. We will be nothing. So whatever challenge you have in your life, whatever challenge Paul had in his life, whatever challenge you will face in future, and maybe this is encouraging part, the older you get, the more you get information or knowledge how to handle this stuff. But in the process, when you're in the heat of the moment, and God wants to bring out that pure and the refiner's gold in you, it's a very difficult thing to go through. I truly believe everyone's got a story here that they can relate about their suffering. My suffering is not more than yours. It might be different than yours, but it's tailor-fit for me. In some sense, I thought, well, Dylan, my oldest son, and Matthew, my youngest son, is also part of the cloak of humility that God wants to give me by his grace. I didn't see it at first. I just cried. I remember in the beginning, I was so broken, couldn't believe God did this to me. And when Matthew came, I couldn't believe he did it a second time. Why? You know, it's not really an answer to the why. I think we resolve it in Christ. When our becoming and our wrestling with it is in Christ, we find him being the answer as well. It builds our character. It gives us balance. It helps with a lot of things in life when we realize that we are so dependent on Jesus Christ for everything. It's in him that we breathe and move and live and have our beings. It's not really by our human effort. And I'm not saying sit back and don't participate in this process. It's one heck of a journey to journey with Jesus Christ, to journey in God, to journey with his Spirit. So I don't know if that's my story. It's just a bit of the story. There's much more, but it's not appropriate maybe for now. But be encouraged that whatever you go through, God knows about it and didn't found out about it when it started. He knew it millions of years ago. He knew it billions of years ago. And he's with you because he promised you and I he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. We might feel, and that is our experience, we move closer and further from God in our experience. But in truth, in spiritual truth, God never moves. He's the rock. He stands. He is. It's not as if he goes away. In our experience, we might feel hot for later. But in reality, he is. He can't change. God can't help himself but to love you. It's not an option for him. Doesn't wake up in the morning as if he could say, okay, today I'm going to love you. And tomorrow he wakes up and think, no, I had a bad dream. No, God loves you. He loves me. He loves us all. If you go through hardship, if you're on the hill of exaltation in glory in his presence, he's with you. If you're in the valley of depression, lying on your face, crying your heart out before him, he's with you. He doesn't move. He's with you. My prayer for anyone that ever meets me is to, if you can't see Jesus, there's something wrong with me, man. Christ is all. In every ear that hears about you, in every eye that sees you, Christ is all.
This is very beautiful. Let's turn to Philippians. I literally am going to speak for 7 minutes or 5 minutes. And then we're going to apply what Nico's just showed us. So Philippians is, let's pick it up in verse, chapter 1 and verse 12. And the heading is Paul's chains advance the gospel. Say that with me. Paul's chains advance the gospel. Nico's chains advance the gospel. Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. If you take a red pen, like I've done, and you underline just the word Christ and the gospel, in the first page of Philippians, it'll go like this. Christ, Christ, gospel, Christ, gospel, Christ, 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 gospel, Christ, Christ, gospel, Christ, 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 gospel, Christ, gospel, Christ. This book is about Jesus and about the gospel. It's not about personalities. It's not about brands. It's not about church names. It's about Jesus and the gospel. Now, I want you to know, my brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. The man I met who met Nico, I met Nico at a coffee shop called Vovatello in Woodlands in the morning. In the afternoon, I met a guy called Mono Bosoff in Parkview Shopping Center. I said, Mono, do you know Nico? I don't know why I asked that. He said, yes, Nico is my mentor. He said, hi, why did you ask if I knew him? I said, I don't know, I just felt like you knew him. I said, tell me about Nico. He said, that man has encouraged me to preach the gospel more courageously. You see, friends, Paul, when I'm in chains sometimes, when I'm in prison, I want to tell everybody about my conditions. The prison is cold, the prison is lonely, the showers are cold, and the food's not good. And the company I'm keeping is really bad, and people have let me down, and some people have backstabbed me, and I'll tell everybody about my chains and my prison. Paul never ever tells the facts about the prison, he just tells the effects of the prison. Because a little bit earlier he prays and he says, this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in the knowledge of God, that you might have the discernment to know what is best. He's actually saying, he wants us to prioritize our lives according to the gospel. And the problem with the church is that it's becoming so commercial and it's becoming so consumeristic that the church exists to keep care of people's needs instead of existing to exalt Christ. And Paul changed that. It means every single thing that happened to his life, he processed through whether it advanced or stopped the gospel. And this is my simple prayer. I saw a relationship reconciled in Durban. Today, tonight, through the testimony of one man who has found Christ and the gospel in the midst of suffering and probably a lifelong commitment to two little boys or two boys, I'm going to ask that your suffering, your chains, whatever grips your heart, whatever confines your life, will not take the center of attention, but you will see it, the essence of it, as an opportunity to advance Christ in Pretoria. Simple as that. I honestly don't want to draw any attention to this. I don't want sympathy. I'm just telling you my story. I have a brain tumor. I've had an operation already. It grew back again between my ear and my eye. I have a tumor the size of a big egg. It's not cancerous, but it's very painful. I don't believe God caused it. I don't believe the devil caused it. Somebody kicked me in my head in a rugby field. I don't believe it's caused by sin. I think God can heal it at any time. But I know this, it has given me deep, deep, deep compassion for sick people. Before, I was too busy to notice any. I can walk into a restaurant, my wife will tell you, I start weeping many times when I look at tables. I can feel people's brokenness. I can see emotional pain. I know psychological abuse. And I believe God has used it to open my eyes to the pain of his people. That's why when Stephen says that scripture, I've seen your pain, I've heard your cry, I am deeply concerned. It is one of the scriptures of my life, and it's painful sometimes. I wish God sometimes would take it away. But I know. I've prophesied over people, I've prayed for people, I've led people to Jesus in restaurants because I can feel their pain. What's your thing in your head? What's your child in the bed? What's the thing that keeps you imprisoned? Let's not see it, friends. Let's not see it as either a disqualifier. Let's not see it as one which grabs attention and takes center stage. But let's see it as an opportunity to preach Christ. Let's put the facts of our prison away. And let's ask God to show us the effects of the gospel through our suffering. That I believe is the book of Philippians. That, I believe, is what God wants to teach us tonight.